Celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. And looking ahead, obviously, to taking on board Michael Appleton, who has managed to beat all his previous managerial tenures combined. If you look at Blackburn, if you look at Blackpool, and he's still with Oxford United.
And taking his own in the fifth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, but you see, from the fake news scenario, I have to turn around and say the notion that they're going to actually provide a game and a support idea. I mean, surely, let's face it, the official launch for this Fly Me to the Moon podcast cup special would have to be two more wins in Wembley.
Ooh.
That's it. Two more wins. Beat Oxford, beat sixth round, back end of the arch. The march to the arch continues.
FA Cup semi-final at Wembley.
Simple, exactly. All great stuff from that point of view. We will be focusing on the Oxford game, clearly, but let's just rewind slightly. And overall, a satisfactory result against Everton. I mean, frustrating at times, but, you know, all things being, have to say, thanks to the keeper's left leg several times, really.
That's right. Victor Valdez did come to our rescue against. Luckman was quite exceptional in their attack. But at the same token, that Gested had a great chance near the end, a great header. So that could have been 1-0. But overall, to hold Everton, who'd been going so well, they'd stuck six in the net, hadn't they, the week before. Past Bournemouth. So to halt their progress was phenomenal, and it gives us a lot of confidence. It's just we need those goals, and could it be that Oxford will give us the, you know, will that be an opportunity? It's not going to be an easy game, but if we could get one or two goals, it could be a big confidence boost for players. So it's not a distraction, actually. It's a very important game in its own right, but it's very important for the Premier League.
And I'm thinking certainly it could well be an opportunity for Patrick Bamford to get his shooting boots on.
Well, that's right. And Rudy Gested.
And let's face it, you know, Patrick, I know, top-class player, but do you really want to actually spend most of the time in the press room watching other games? You know, there are sort of moments where I think a few people were surprised, actually, that he wasn't actually given a start, or at least a place on the bench against Everton. But, you know, let us not sort of question the Karanka wisdom, because clearly things will open up on that basis. We have actually got a prediction already from the full-time chaplain of the James Cook University Hospital, Chapel of the Good Samaritan, Marie Edwards, who couldn't be with us today, but her official line, Middlesbrough 3, Oxford United 1.
Oh, that would be
so
good.
So she sees a goal for Oxford United.
Yes, she sees three goals in Middlesbrough.
Exactly.
It's been a while since we've seen...
I'm thinking maybe 4-0, actually. I mean, I'm fairly confident that actually things will sort of... Well, okay, Oxford have won 5 out of 5, but they lost their last game.
They did.
So that's 2-0 from that perspective. Appleton, okay, they beat Newcastle, but that was at home.
They did.
They don't really, if we look at Michael Appleton's views, want to have a replay. So I think they're going to be playing to win, which should open up sort of various opportunities.
He might say that, but I bet his chairman wouldn't agree.
Well, as we said, Michael Appleton and chairman, he's had a few disagreements in the past.
Yes, indeed.
You know, just see where it actually goes on that setup. I think quietly confident really is the official line, because as you said, it's a real opportunity to actually boost confidence, to actually start beginning to. Of course, you could argue, well, we thought that after the 3-0 victory in the last game against Swansea, exactly.
Which was the last time we won, which was in the middle of December now, wasn't it?
And of course, there was the cup game as well that they managed.
Well, that's right. Accrington and Stanley was only 1-0, and it was thanks to Stuart Downing's superb goal that broke that deadlock.
Just as well, he didn't leave in the transfer window.
Yeah, I know. And again, it could be an opportunity for him. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what sort of. Ito Karanka said he is going to play a fairly strong side, and I think it's right to, because I think it is an opportunity for people to get more confidence, and some of them to get more match time. But at the same time, as you said, it's just two games away from Wembley, and that's a big opportunity in itself, and the FA Cup does have so much prestige. And when I was young, we used to get through to the sixth round quite regularly, but that was as far as we ever got. We called the sixth round.
It was a glass ceiling.
It was a glass ceiling. We would call it the quarterfinals in Middlesbrough, because that was like our final. And we didn't finally get past that stage until that amazing season.
The downburst, really.
Yeah, it was the cup finals and the relegation season. And it almost got forgotten about, the fact that we went to Derby and we won a sixth round and got through to a semi. And obviously we got to the cup final, but we'd been relegated the week before.
The frustration of playing a team in blue, of course, you know, Leicester City and Chelsea, all sort of challenges from that.
Oh, we shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Oxford United don't wear.
No, they don't. No, that's true.
So, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
We play another sort of dark blue side in various ways. Looking towards Oxford, obviously they've beaten Rotherham and they've beaten Newcastle. So you can't say they've had.
They've had an easy run.
Arguably, you could turn around and say, well, Newcastle, in essence, Mitrovic missed the penalty.
He did, that's right, yeah.
There are no easy sides, but you know, it's not as though I don't think you necessarily have the passion of, shall we say, a Lincoln City.
Oh, right.
To face, but you know, who knows what could happen in that one. So good news from that point of view. We're going to talk a bit more about, obviously, the state of play as far as Borough are actually concerned, and we'll look ahead to get Rob's prediction. We've heard from Reverend Marie Edwards. I've given my sort of 4-0. We'll find out what happens as far as that's concerned in this March to the Arch Cup special of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you fancy a film, we have over 80 great films to choose from, to suit all ages and all film tastes. Why not check out the free film trailers and see if there's anything you fancy? If the latest blockbuster film isn't your thing, then how about one of our classic films, such as The Great Escape, Rain Man, or Some Like It Hot?
250?
250?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250 guys just walking down the road, just like that.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver.
You know how to drive?
Yeah.
Rain Man! You never touch the steering wheel when I'm driving. Do you hear me?
Of course, I don't have my underwear.
To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial star.
100,000 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Flying at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
We always say that, because we do. It's good to be grateful for all sorts of things. I think there are 3,200 fans, apparently, according to the BBC website, that are making their way up from Oxford to Middlesbrough. So that should make for a reasonably interesting time. But
It's a good atmosphere.
Clearly, they are a worthy side. They are doing various other species. But ultimately, we would prefer Oxford, or I would prefer Oxford than, shall we say, Burnley away.
Absolutely, completely.
Have to mention the Lincoln people in there from that point of view. But
We've been very fortunate, haven't we, with getting three home cup draws in a row.
And I remember a couple of years ago, it seemed to be a consistent run of away draw. Away
especially
draw
in the League Cup. Did we get 12 or 13 in a row? And in the end, we got our trip free to Swansea because we'd had such a long run of away games.
Thanks to, obviously, the Capital One MasterCard people for actually putting that together, even though they don't have any sponsorship to do with the Fly Me to the Moon podcast.
No.
Although we're open to offers.
Yeah, we are.
There we are. A couple of lines from that. let's sort of look at some of the games coming up after the win against Oxford.
Well, let's hope. No, don't jinx it.
Exactly. We have Crystal Palace away and then Stoke away.
Yes.
Now, although we said last week, I mean, I think we were hopeful that there would be a win against Everton. We did feel that a point was not necessarily going to be a bad result. And so it may well transpire. These upcoming games, particularly the Palace one, you really are looking at getting all 3 points, I would have thought.
It is you said 3 points, it's one of those ones that the cliche, the six-pointer, isn't it? Because it goes in both directions. Palace have really struggled, and Allardyce hasn't had that new manager bounce at all, has he? The continued to
collapse in many ways.
Yeah, and they've looked particularly vulnerable at home. Their defence just continues to look very woeful. It would be
more holes than a Kirkrander, basically.
As we've said a couple of times, we've not won since the middle of December, and this would be the time to break free and not just draw but win. So it's going to be an absolutely vital game for both teams, and confidence wise as well, going into if we can continue to inflict the run of defeats they've had at Selhurst Park, then it's going to keep that sort of atmosphere a bit toxic there.
And it is a concertina impact that you've actually got, because Swansea look as though they may just be beginning to sort of claw some zone from that perspective. Certainly beating Leicester was, again, another six-pointer if we look at that.
Yeah.
Which leaves you primarily with Hull City, Crystal Palace, probably Leicester.
Sunderland, obviously.
Sunderland, indeed. Yes. Well, you know, we've thought they were going for so many years now.
A win, yes, that's right. Yes. A win at Crystal Palace would probably start to, unless they produce away from home, would suddenly pull Bournemouth into it as well. Mm. And Bournemouth have shipped an awful lot of goals, and have started to lose games at home, which has been, where they've been strong.
The lads from the Etihad did their bits to obviously get a good result, and unfortunately led to Gabriel Jesus going down with metatarsal problems, but never mind, that's a different line. For a different part of the league, shall we say.
But if we talk about Stoke, we've only really visited that stadium. It's only two or three times, actually. It's And it's always it's the cliche. Well, it's always a difficult place to go, but it is.
They start singing Delilah. They start doing all other manner of bits and pieces. It's not like the old Victoria Ground.
No, there was which is still there.
Exactly. But in terms of this new Bet 365 stadium, I believe
that's right.
referred to, which I'm not quite sure about the association with gambling and such like that basis, but that's for another debate. I think, despite the fact that Mark Hughes will never win anything, let's face it, Mark, you've won maybe one trophy. You're never going to win anything with Mark Hughes. There is a prediction which is it. But but a bit like Sam Allardyce used to be, they're kind of consistently going to grind out the results. They're going to be safe, and they're going to be basically very, very difficult to get anything from, really.
Well, they wouldn't allow us to have Bojan, would they? He went to Groton. They've had some exciting players there in the last couple of seasons. They continue to get really big crowds.
Good diplomatic relations with Tony Pulis.
Yeah. Very good diplomatic.
Well, okay.
But that might be the sort of place where you would think, again, you'd be hoping, you'd be wanting a draw and hoping possibly to try and get a win if you on the back of your away win at Palace, but a draw is more realistic.
And so it goes. I mean, we won't look any further ahead than that because clearly we'll be revamping and rejigging, and there'll be the March to the Arch
that
we'll be working through. We didn't actually try to get any Oxford United fans on board today because I just thought it's no point sort of pouring misery on the side of things. So that point of view. And
you don't know any.
Well, this is true. This is true. Although they did actually, as we said, they did win, I think, the old League Cup / Carling Cup.
They did.
They beat Queen's Park Rangers 1985, I think.
John Aldridge.
Called. Yeah,
maybe.
That's exactly.
Yeah, before he went to Liverpool.
Yeah, so interesting sort of lines there.
I went to the Manor Ground, their old ground, which was very strange. It was like, did you ever have a Sabutio pitch? And they used to
flick to kick.
Indeed. And you used to buy one stand at a time, stands, and the Manor Ground had about seven stands around it, all the small stands.
Yeah, it's all changed these days. Although I think Sabutio is still actually there, even in a world where most people would probably actually say, no, we're on FIFA 26 by now, basically, or the computer general, or the championship manager. The old flick to kick, which I don't think the virtual world has ever quite replicated. The slight sort of bruising and blistering string that your index fingers would actually get in terms of flicking through that, and of course the diving goalkeepers as well. It's extraordinary. Well, diving insofar as you had to lean them over to one side and hope that they actually got somewhere. I just thought the referee was under a whole range of sort of packages. Ah, Sabutio, what a fine sort of day. Back in a happy era when there were only 16 teams in the World Cup finals as opposed to 48, which we're looking forward to. Well, let's have plans for everybody. Looking ahead to other sort of factors, what's the general sense that you're getting at the Riverside these days, Rob, in terms of the way that the fans are with respect to Carranco? I mean, is there still a huge groundswell of support? I mean, we still hear every so often that the mainstream media do like to create mischief by suggesting, they're going to be a sulk and various other factors. But, you know, overall, is that a case of pushing in the right direction?
I think so. I mean, people realise there's an awful lot at stake, obviously, that our Premier future. I think what everybody wants to see as a Middlesbrough fan is the team giving 100%, and that's what they are doing. I think we're all trying to encourage them to make that, get that breakthrough goal. You're talking about the analysis on Match of the Day last week, which was pointing at the fact that we were so well organised and defensively so superb, but it does mean that Negredo is very much isolated and we don't get forward into the area. Be interesting to see if that starts to gradually change as we get towards the end of the season. I'm sure it's going to in some of the games. It's going to have to. I don't know whether it will against Crystal Palace away, because you are the away side. You would expect to play in that way. But I think Gaston Ramirez coming back into the fold again is going to be quite key. Traore is playing very well, but one player cannot do it all on his own, especially if it's just him and Negredo up front.
And Ramirez, obviously, whether his heart was in the right place, he is still a Barrow player. We have to wait and see what actually happens within that. I mean, technically, you would argue that he'd come from Southampton, he wasn't quite doing the business there, sorting out various. Callum Chambers, has he been a good loan? Because he's obviously a loanee from Southampton. He's sort of sore through that.
From Arsenal,
From Arsenal, indeed, formerly Southampton, because he started off his career at Southampton.
He has been a very good loan, initially as a centre-half.
But he had a smile at the Bayern Munich result, I would have thought, actually, Callum Chambers. I don't know, sort of thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
George Friend is fit again, so we might see George Friend against Oxford, and we always miss him for his attacking threat as well as his defensive strength. So and his captaincy, so that could be a significant for the weeks ahead.
And unlikely, presumably, to go back to a kind of 4-4-2 lineup of having a twin spearhead, because one often thinks with Negredo, with indeed Gestede, it's almost crying out for the kind of Toshack Keegan, the sort of,
yeah.
Or dare I even say Billy Ashcroft, Stan Cummins.
twins, that was very much big man, little man.
Very much, in all sorts of ways there. No, I think Karanka is set on just the one up front. It seems to be.
Gestede and even more Bamford have not played a lot of football in the last couple of seasons. That is the problem, and that is again a great plus for us having these FA Cup matches. Not that I want to demean it in any way, because it's going to be a great atmosphere, as we said, over 3,000 Oxford fans, and that always makes something special. That helped the Everton game, the fact that there was a really big Everton contingent, but it will have that atmosphere. And it's been great that the Middlesbrough fans have been supporting these FA Cup games as well. We've been getting good crowds all the way through, and I'm sure we will again. And the carrot of getting through to the quarter-final is a big one.
The ultimate sort of tribute of being able to actually appear on the One Show clad in your supporters' colours if you are selected to be one of the great sort of folk who gets that sort of cup draw scenario. Only kidding. So,
I've been passed over this season.
It's an outrage, Rob. I really can't, it's outrageous in every sense of the word. We have been talking about, obviously, the Flying to the Moon podcast companion for the FA Cup run, but there is a paper edition, which is where it all started, that people can actually subscribe to and access. So how can people access details of Flying to the Moon, the magazine?
Indeed, yes. You can get... you can subscribe to the all 10 from this season. There's still 3 to go, isn't there?
A Titanic 10, yes.
Or the last
top
5.
Top Titanic 10, exactly.
Yeah, we do it every month now. So you can subscribe. If you go to fmttm.com and click on subscribe, it's got full details there. Or write to, if you do it the old-fashioned way, Flamath Moon, Unit 7, Parentinal Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP, or email at fmttmadmin@gmail.com for details.
Splendid. And of course, you can access the true meaning and writing genius of the likes of the Bartleys, the Stanistans, I was going to actually say the Joe Nicholson, but we're not sure what's happened now he's gone to Australia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's gone this week.
This is it. So if you're in any communication with Joe, will he actually still be doing his YouTube channel from Australia?
Well, that remains to be seen. Hopefully. They still do YouTube over there, don't they?
Well, they do have that, but, just as obviously the current incumbent of the White House had to put the phone down or have the phone put down on him, I think, we never quite know what relations are like with Australia these days.
No, it's all the wrong way around.
Clearly, we need to bring back Craig Johnston. Wrapping point on that particular perspective. Prediction then, Rob, against... I keep wanting to say Huddersfield, but now, of course, it's Oxford United.
It is Oxford United.
Oxford United.
Definitely. League One, Oxford
precisely,
United.
Precisely. They're
shooting above there.
Huddersfield will also hopefully lose, all being well. I won't go any further in that particular aspect. But Oxford United,
yeah.
What's the result?
I hope and I believe that we can win this 2-0.
You say 2-0. Reverend Marie Edwards says 3-1. I say 4-0.
It's getting better.
It's all victory, isn't it? It's the march to the arch. It continues as far as Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, is concerned.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. We'll be back with more goodness for the Fly Me to the Moon podcast. But we're not quite sure whether it'll be the Cup or the League.
We're not.
This is it, because the next technical production would be the 9th of March. But, of course, on the 10th of March... Barrett may well be still in the Cup.
Nice, that's right.
Actually, they will be, so we'll plan for that basis. We'll have another Cup special then. That's the next time we'll actually hear it, and probably a couple of League things as well. We know what we have to do now, and you can do this whilst you're listening to the podcast, even if you're listening to your podcast on your headphones, travelling to work, and in a public environment. I'd like people to actually share. Well, they should, because it's a YouTube podcast, so wherever you are, wherever you're listening, you're consuming this particular Fly Me to the Moon podcast, those 7 final words. A 1, a 2, a 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. 7 simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.